So, a few weeks ago, more than a few, I guess, several weeks ago, I started a series of sermons about the golden calf. We talked about, at that time, three questions that came out of the golden calf. Why did they want an idol? And we've talked about that. Why didn't God destroy them all? We talked about, because of the intercession of Moses made on their behalf, his prayers on their behalf. So the last one is going to be, why did Aaron go along with them? And I think there's some good lessons for us in a couple different areas here. Lessons about how we need to live our lives, but also lessons about how we choose leaders within the church. And so I want to say that pretty simple answer as to why Aaron went along with them. The reason was, Aaron was not a good leader. Aaron was not a good leader. And there's a couple of reasons that I think that we can point out that tell us why Aaron found himself in the situation he did and why he behaved the way he did. So why wasn't he a good leader? Well, number one, he went along with the crowd. You know, if you think about leaders today, most leaders today lead by trying to figure out what will make the most people say they're good. They look for, how can I please the most people? Not necessarily because I've done the right things, but I've done what they want to do so that they're happy, and if they're happy, they're saying I'm good, and then that makes me a good leader. Well, that's what Aaron did. You look back at Exodus chapter 32 that Bruce read this morning. They said to Aaron, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Does Aaron try to say, well, wait a minute, you don't know that Moses is dead. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, you know, God doesn't want us to have any idols, anything besides him. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, take off the rings that are golden in your ears and your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. You want an idol? Okie doke, I'm all for it. Well, that probably made everybody happy, right? That's what they wanted. Gives them what they wanted. Well, that's what the world has come to believe is a good leader. If you tell people what they want to hear, give them what they want, that makes you a good leader, right? Well, that's not really how it works. All Aaron did was scratch their itching ears. We go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. It reads, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, will turn away from listening to the truth, and wander off into myths. Doesn't that just describe what Aaron did? They had itching ears. They wanted him to say, yes, you should have an idol. You should have something to point to. We talked about at the beginning of this first sermon about why they wanted an idol in the first place. There's something to look at, something to point to. You need that. I'll make it for you. Well, that's scratching their ears, right? That itch that they have. Do you notice how this, that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions? So what they're saying is if you want to be successful, you want to be a leader, they're going to look for people who will tell them what they want to hear. So you've got to make sure you understand what your audience wants to hear, and you tell them that, and then you're looked favorably upon. Well, that's what Aaron did. His audience, this whole group, the group came to him and said, this is what we want. Aaron didn't try to fight with them. Aaron didn't try to convince them of anything else. He just said, okay, that's what you want. That's what I'm here to do. Aren't I a good leader? Well, didn't work out so well for him, did it? A good leader should have taught them what God wanted. I want you to compare this to Joshua. Let's go over to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. So when we get to chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, Joshua is getting towards the end of his life. And he's trying to make a point to the people. He's trying to be a true leader. He's trying to say, you need to remember what God has done for you. You need to recommit yourself to serving the Lord. And if you go through verses 1 through 15, there's different things that he reminds them of. Okay? Verse 2, thus says the Lord God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham beyond the river and led him through the land of Canaan. So he reminds them that he took care of Abraham. It reminds them, where all did this start? Who did God make his promises to Abraham? Who did the covenant get made with? Abraham. That's where it started. So he reminds them of this, okay? And then verse 4, to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of the Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Okay, so he talked about how they ended up in Egypt. A reminder. You were slaves in Egypt. You ended up in Egypt. You ended up as slaves. I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out. He reminds them that God had brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. Then he talks about the fact that, and then I brought your fathers out of Egypt and you came to the sea. Talks about coming to the sea and God splitting the water so that they could get away from their enemies. You start to see my point here. Jacob, or Joshua, starts talking them through. This is what God has done for you. You need to recommit yourself to this God who has taken such good care of you, has provided for you, has delivered you. That's way different than saying, hey, you want an idol? I'll make you an idol. Joshua finally finishes up when you get down to verse 15. And he says, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That, my friends, is being a leader. He didn't just give in and tell them what they wanted to hear. He taught them. He reminded them. He led by example. He says, you get to make your choice. I can't make you do anything, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do and what my house is going to do, and we're going to serve God. And that's the example he set. And that's what he did. That is a good leader. That's not Aaron. Aaron just gave in to what they want. A good leader would have rebuked those who went against the Lord. Titus 1 and verse 9. It's talking about what an elder is supposed to be. An overseer, a bishop, whatever you want to call that person within the congregation. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Someday, hopefully, this congregation will be looking for elders. And when we do, we need to look for somebody who will teach, like Joshua did, and rebuke those who contradict it. That's what Aaron should have done. Aaron knew better. Aaron knew better, but he didn't stand up. He wasn't really a leader. He gave in. And he just gave them what they wanted. Think about how things would have been different for Israel if Aaron would have stood up and said, men, this is not right. This is not what you should be doing. This is not how God wants to be served. Remember all that God's done for you. Remember what Moses has told you. No, you do not need an idol. You need to turn to God and you need to repent. What if he had done that? Think of the lives he could have saved. Now, if you think about it as somebody that's in line to be an elder, do you want somebody that just gives in, or somebody that stands up to someone and says, no, you're not doing this right. Here's how God expects you to live. This is his expectations of you. You can't do what you are going to do, what you want to do. And if he convinces that person and saves their soul, isn't that what a leader is meant to do? That's what you're looking for. You don't want somebody who just tells you what you want to hear. You know, the best friends are those friends who will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Good parents are people who tell their kids what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Can any of you remember a time in your life where your parents told you something you didn't want to hear? Probably made you mad at the time. But more than likely, you remember it because it was a turning point, a point where you recognized something needed to change. And it helped get you on the right path. That's what a good leader does. But that's not what Aaron was. That's not what Aaron did. Why didn't Aaron stand up? Well, part of giving in and giving people what they want is because you want people to think well of you. You want the prestige. You want people to see you as a leader. You want people to like you. There aren't very many people in the world who don't want other people to like them. Okay? We know that Aaron wanted this because we're told in, got my notes all mixed up here. We're told in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Aaron and Miriam are kind of like tired of being in the background. They're tired of not getting the credit that Moses gets. Moses gets all the credit, basically what they're saying. And they're thinking to themselves, we're as good as Moses. We work as hard as Moses. We do the things Moses does. We should get the same prestige that Moses gets. He's seen as the leader of the Israelites. Why aren't we seen as leaders of the Israelites? That's what he wanted. Well, how do you do that? Well, the easy way is you try to make them happy. Goes back to our first point, right? Politicians today, what do? Do they actually do what needs to be done for the country, or do they do what will get them votes? They do what will get them votes. That's exactly what they do. So that means you figure out what the majority of the people want, and that's what you do, because that's how you get enough votes to stay in the office, right? And if you want to stay in office, you got to give them what they want. Aaron wanted to be in office, so he's going to give them what they want. But you know what? It's kind of funny when you compare it to Moses. Go back over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. First 10 verses of the book of chapter 3 of Exodus. Is Moses going and seeing the burning bush. And he goes up to it and God speaks to him. And then God starts to tell him that I have seen what's going on among my people. Verse 7. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering. I've come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to cut them off and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you, he says to Moses, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So he goes on, he kind of tells him, and then he says, you, Moses, I got a job for you. You're going to lead my people. Well, Aaron would have gone. No problem. I'm your man. What you want me to do? Verse 11, Moses says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses goes, that sounds like you need somebody besides me. That doesn't sound like me. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want all that prestige. If you remember the rest of the story, Moses argues with God for a while. He keeps trying to make excuses why I'm not your guy. And he finally gets to the point of, well, I'm not good at speaking in front of people. I'm a terrible speaker. I can't go and talk to Moses. I'll get all tongue-tied. He'll never understand what I'm saying. This is just not going to work, God. And it says, God is getting angry. I've chosen you for a reason, Moses. You're going to lead my people. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what needs to be done. You're going to tell your brother Aaron, and he, who's a good talker, he's going to tell Pharaoh what needs to be said. Isn't it interesting? Right at that point, have you ever considered God didn't say, okay, you're right. You're not a good speaker. You're not eloquent, like we talked about this morning with Apollos. You're not an eloquent man. We'll let Aaron lead the people. Why didn't God just let Aaron do it? Why did he put Aaron having to listen to Moses? Why did he talk to Moses, to talk to Aaron, to talk to the people? Why didn't he just talk to Aaron in the first place? You ever thought about that? Why keep Moses there? Because Moses had the traits of a leader. Moses had the traits of a leader. Aaron did not. Aaron was a good talker. Aaron's a very good talker. You know, Brian this morning talked about going on some of these calls with vendors, and they have the first guy gets up and snoozes them and talks them and gets them all excited and makes everybody happy and creates the relationships. And then you bring in the person who actually has the information, that actually knows what he's talking about. That's the difference between Moses and Aaron. Aaron talked a good game. Moses knew what God wanted, understood it, and would deliver it. But he didn't want the job. Well, somebody would say, how does that fit in with being an elder? Well, let's remember something. The greatest is a servant. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whosoever humbles himself will be exalted. Think about that for a moment. God says that he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who makes himself a servant is going to be exalted. Moses humbled himself. He says, oh, I don't think I'm your guy. I don't think I'm that good. That's it. Yep, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And he made him the leader of Israel. Leaders of the local church, though, it says, if we go over to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this is something that's often pointed out. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. We often talk about the fact that the person who's going to be an elder needs to want to be an elder. Right? You ever heard that spoken? What does it mean he wants to be an elder? Does he want the office? Or does he want the job? Does he want the prestige? Or does he want the opportunity to help others? Aaron wanted the job. He didn't want to do the hard stuff. He wanted the prestige that came with it. He wanted people to look up to him, to think highly of him, to have that power amongst people. But Moses, if you think back to Moses, if you remember even before he went before, why was he talking out in the place where the burning bush was in the first place? Because he saw what was happening to his people, and he tried to help them out. He wanted to help them out, and he did it by killing one of the Egyptians, if you remember. And it got him in trouble, and so he had to flee. But Moses showed right from early on, he wanted to help God's people. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted. He didn't want to be their leader. He wanted to help them. That's what we need to be looking for when we're looking for someone to be an elder. Someone who wants to help. Somebody who desires to serve. Not somebody who wants to be called an elder because of the prestige that comes with it. somebody who wants to do the work that's necessary to lead a congregation. I want to point out that being a leader in the local church is different than being a leader in the world. I've already talked about a little bit how the world views leaders. We see leaders as people who do what we want them to do. That's one way. The other way is we go to the military standpoint of, that's the person who stands up and gives the orders, gives the commands. And everybody marches to what they tell them to do. Neither one of those are the type of leader that God is looking for in his church. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible describes Jesus as the head of the church, does it not? He's the head of the church. Yet it says he came not to be served, but to serve. He's the head of the church. Why? Because he served others. Was it in his best interest to die on the cross? No. I don't think so. Did what he taught make everybody happy? Did everybody want to hear what he had to say? No, I don't think so. Did he just come down to tell everybody, you need to do this? Go forth and do this. No, that isn't what he did. He came, he taught, he served, he died for our sins. He served. That's how he became the head of the church. That's what it means to serve. Well, you know what? God expects us to want to serve others. Let's back up just a little bit. Let's go up to verse 25. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. So being the head, being an elder, isn't about the one who's in authority. It's not about lording it over others. It's not about having control. The office of elder is about serving others. One of the reasons it's so hard to find elders, people to be elders, is because the world doesn't teach us to serve. That's not how we're taught leaders behave. Leaders are about prestige, about getting an office, having people look up to you, giving orders, getting people to do what you want them to do. That's not what being a leader in the church is about. It's about serving. Again, we talked about in our class this morning, the examples that Paul gave of how he served others. He took a vow. Why? Because that was his way of being able to make a connection with people to help them, to serve them. Didn't do it because it was good for him. Didn't do it because he wanted to do it. He did it because that's how he could help others. He marched into the synagogue all by himself. Didn't have anybody with him. Why? Because he didn't want to put the other people at risk. He knew that it could be contentious, that it could become violent. So he left them behind and marched in there on his own because he cared about them. He was worried about their well-being over his own well-being. A leader in today's world would have done what? Hey, Quilla, Priscilla, you guys go in there first. I'll be right behind you. We'll see how this goes, but you guys go in first and let me know how that works. Right? Isn't that how the world works today? That's not leadership in the church. That's not leadership in the church. Leadership in the church is putting others before self. So I want to finish up talking about God expecting us to serve others. God chose Moses to lead Israel. We read these verses. God chose him. But you know what he said about him? Go over to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Numbers 12 and verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Meek, humble. Moses was a humble person. He didn't think he was better than anybody. He didn't think he was anything great. He just wanted to help. He just wanted to serve. That's why God chose Moses. Because Moses was humble. Moses recognized he couldn't deliver the people out of Egypt. All he could do was do what God told him to do and trust God to get it done. He wasn't going to try to be some military leader, come up with some great strategy about how they were going to sneak out in the middle of the night to get out of Egypt. He was just there to do the will of God and help lead the people out as God told him to do it. That's what the kind of person that we need to be looking for when we're looking for leaders within the church. Go to Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We find out that God refers to him as his servant. Not as his leader, not as his right-hand man, but as his servant. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Without him I speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Notice how many times he uses the term "my servant." He's doing the will of God. He's not doing what he wants. He's not doing it for himself. He's serving God. So my question for you this morning is something to think about is, are we servants? Do we look out for each other? Do we look out for other people? Do we put other people before self? Even in the times of the apostles, 1 and 2 Corinthians, a lot of time is spent on the fact that people tend to be selfish. They tend to put self before others. And it causes all sorts of problems. Caused all sorts of problems in the church at Corinth. Causes all sorts of problems in the church today. You ever look at a church where there's been some sort of division, some sort of conflict? It's because somebody decided that they needed to be able to do what they wanted to do. They needed to get credit for something. They needed to be able to do something. They had their rights. You look for a church where people are growing spiritually, where they are serving God as he wants to be served, you will find people who look out and put others before self. They're watching on how they can help someone else rather than thinking about how can I help myself. I think that is one of the primary lessons from the golden calf. Aaron, if he would have been a true leader, could have saved the lives of so many Israelites. So many who were killed because they rebelled against God. Before it ever got to that point, Aaron as a leader could have stopped it. He could have stopped it by saying, "Hold on a minute. Let's see what God has to say about this. Let's say some prayers to God to see if he's in agreement with this, if this is the right thing to do. Let's seek to serve God, not ourselves." Think of the lives he could have saved, but he didn't. He just said, "That's what you want. That's what I'll do." We can't have those kinds of people, those kinds of men, be leaders in the church. We need those people who will stand up and tell us the truth. Tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. That aren't doing it because they want to be in control, that they want to be in charge, because they want to have the title, but because they want to help people save their souls. That's the big lesson from the golden calf. Something to consider hopefully you found this helpful, but got to say that I think right now as a congregation, we've got a lot of people who do this, who watch out for each other, seek to help each other, put others before self. That's a good thing. We need to keep that. We need to keep that. Because that's what God expects of us. If you remember the story, the Bible tells us of Jesus coming in and washing the feet of his disciples. And his disciples were all like, you can't do Peter's like, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus let him know, if I can't wash your feet, then we've got a problem. Because that's what a servant does. He takes care of others. And that's what you will need to do. We need to follow that example. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, then you put yourself above the will of the Lord. You're not a servant of the Lord. You're not doing his will. You need to change that. You need to become a servant. You need to do what God told us we need to do. You need to obey the gospel. You need to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be buried in baptism. And then as Dennis points out each and every time, then you've got to live your life according to God's will, not yours. That's how you serve God. If you are a Christian, but you haven't been a servant, you haven't put the needs of others before self, you haven't put God before self, you need to change that. You need to make those things right. And you need to do that this morning while you have that opportunity as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.